We get into December, January. What happens? What happens? You can't change a playoff game, Mike. You can't back a playoff game up.
Welcome to the MIP, the Michael Irvin Podcast. Time for the MIP, the Michael Irvin Podcast.
Well, I just happen to love that intro. It is time for the MIP, the Michael Irvin Podcast. I am the MVP of the MIP. And wow, I got a great show lined up for you today. We'll have one of the greatest linebackers to ever play the game, Sugar Ray Lewis, two-time Super Bowl champion with the Baltimore Ravens. He also did a whole lot of damage down there at my old alma mater for the University of Miami. Sugar Ray Lewis was the best, man, and we have a great conversation. We cover a lot of things, talk about how he would have fared against Lamar Jackson in Baltimore right now. And then we also, at the end of the show, I'm going to give you my very first playmaker of the week. It's not just the plays this dude made, but it's also what's behind why he made those plays. That's what a playmaker is, and I will give you my playmaker of the week at the end. But first, we start with big deal or no big deal, and we go around the league with these headlines. So first, let's jump right into it. Bill O'Brien fired as GM head coach for the Houston Texans. Big deal or no big deal? Are you joking? This is a huge deal. A huge deal. It's something that sends a message to all other head coaches around the league. You cannot trade away great assets and great players because you don't get along with them and then not win and expect to have a job. Bill O'Brien traded away Jadeveon Clowney, traded away two first-round draft picks for Larry Tunsil and Kenny Stills. He got David Johnson in a second-round draft pick for one of the best wide receivers in the league in DeAndre Hopkins. I believe that was the one that did him in. He also earlier traded for Duke Johnson, and now the Houston Texans are ranked last in rushing. You gave away all that great asset for rushing, for running backs, and you're ranked last in rushing. That was going to be a problem. That's why they got rid of Bill O'Brien. In spite of those four AFC titles, AFC South titles that he has, and guys, let me say this, because when I read and I'm studying and I hear people going over research and I hear people say, well, he won four AFC South championships. Stop. Do not put Bill O'Brien's name with championship. Head coach Bill O'Brien and championships do not match up at all. He won four AFC South titles. He was only 2-4 in the playoffs, even though he was 52-48 in the regular season. But winning games is not enough. You must win championships, and you would need star players to do so. So you must get along so you can stay alone. That's what you have to do if you're a head coach. That's why that's a big deal. Next, my man, Lamar Jackson passes Michael Vick. Big deal or no big deal? I say to this, no big deal. Lamar Jackson passes Michael Vick, 5,000 passing yards and 2,000 rushing yards, the fastest to do it. Michael Vick did it in 39 games. Lamar Jackson did it in 35 games. No big deal. Let me tell you why this is no big deal. Because now offenses are being built around the quarterback's talent. Before, even in Michael Vick's era, they used to make the quarterback fit into an NFL offense. But now they're not doing that. Lamar Jackson breaking Michael Vick's record is no big deal. He's going to break every record Michael Vick has ever had because Baltimore has built everything for Lamar Jackson. So I say to that, no big deal whatsoever. Let's go to number three. Joe Burrow gets his first win. Big deal or no big deal? This is a huge deal. I love big deals when they send messages to others all around the league. And that's what this is. Joe Burrow threw for 300 yards for the third straight game in a row. That's a rookie record. No rookie has ever done that. He gets his first win. And I know all the people in Cincinnati feels so great about that and feel so great about him getting that win because it means so much to him. If he gets another 300-yard games, he'll actually tie the franchise record of four in a row, which is held by Andy Dalton. This is a big deal because I get sick in T.I. Red. You people know what T.I. Red is? T.I. Red, put it together, T-I-R-E-D. I get tired of hearing people say, well, look at Patrick Mahomes and Aaron Rodgers. They sat for a year. Are you joking? Aaron Rodgers sat behind Hall of Famer Brett Favre. Hall of Famer Brett Favre. And Patrick Mahomes was sitting behind Alex Smith with a team that they had going to the playoffs and winning games anyway. Remember, Kansas City traded all the way up from 27 to draft Patrick Mahomes at number 10. They were a very good football team, so he needed that year to sit and learn a little bit why they tried to go to the playoffs. But I always look at the guys that played right away. My guy played right away. Joe Burrow playing right away. And they know right now they found their guy. Justin Herbert with the Chargers. They didn't plan on playing him right away, but you see what that boy doing. That boy playing great ball. They know they found their guy. I say this because I need somebody to wake Miami up, open up the eyes in Miami, and say, stop playing around with Ryan Fitzpatrick and put Tua in the game so this kid can start getting experience, learning, and get what he needs to be a great one, just like Joe Burrow and just like Justin Herbert is getting right now. All you teams, stop running your team with these retreads and expecting your car to drive smoothly. It's not going to work. Play those young guys. Play them as soon as you can play them. So that's why I call that a big deal. Okay, let's get to the next story. Devontae Adams wanting to play and not being allowed to play. Big deal or no big deal? Folks, this is not a big deal. Let me give you the tweet that Devontae Adams put out. Sorry, fans and friends. I won't be on the field tonight. I've done everything I need to do and proved I'm ready. But I guess I don't know my body as well as others. Good luck out there, my boys. Let me tell you why I say this is no big deal. Now, I appreciate Devontae Adams having that old-time mentality in him that if I'm good, I can go. And because all players want to go. And we have people in place to help us make sure we don't make crazy decisions and put ourselves in harm's way, especially when you are the star of a team like Devontae Adams. And that's why I say this is no big deal. I love that he's like that. I knew he was like that, but it's no big deal whatsoever. Now, I'm going to give you a little receiver talk because we boys like that, just boys like that. I want to tell you what he's really saying here. Devontae Adams is saying, I started this season. Game number one, I caught 14 passes, 156 yards, and two touchdowns. In our mind, we extrapolate and multiply that times 16. Man, that's the kind of game you think you can have every week. If he did that every week, he'll have like 224 passes, 224 receptions, 2,496 yards with 32 touchdowns. It's not going to happen. He knows that won't happen, but he may get 160, that'll pass Michael Thomas's 149. He'll be the lead, he'll set the record for receptions. He sees how Aaron Rodgers is playing. He may get 2,000 yards. He wants the opportunity at that. So he wants to be on the football field. He won't get 32 touchdowns, but he may get Randy Moss's record for touchdowns. So that's what he wants to win. He wants to play for his guys. But trust me, I know he wants his numbers. Because as a wide receiver, I took those stats and those numbers everywhere I went. When it was time to eat, I had my stats. When it was time to sleep, I had my stats. When it was time to do a boo and a boo, I had my stats and I was going over them. No big deal. Devontae's doing what he should be doing. Now, hey, wait. The Packers being 4-0, big deal or no big deal? That's the next story, and I say big deal to that, because Aaron Rodgers is showing, I know they didn't get me my receiver, but what they did get is that guy they put in back of me, and now I will show you all that I am. And what's important about this is there's only two teams that are going to get a bye, one in the AFC, one in the NFC. Right now you will have Kansas City as the top team in the AFC looking at getting that bye. The Packers are fighting for that bye in that spot right now with the Seahawks. With the Seahawks. That's a big deal for Aaron Rodgers, because he wants home field advantage throughout the playoffs. And if Aaron Rodgers is playing like this with backup players, the rest of the league, look out! Trouble is coming. Let's get to the next story. Did you see Connor McDavid, the superstar of superstars in the NHL, got COVID also? Now, this is what this made me think about right here. Big deal or no big deal? And I say this is a big deal. A big deal in this sense. Russell Westbrook in the NBA, he got COVID before they went in the bubble. Then no stars got COVID because everybody was in a bubble. The NHL was fortunate and blessed. No real mega stars got COVID, and they were able to get through the season. They got through a season. But when I watched that game the other night, and I watched Kansas City and the Patriots, and the way the Patriots played the Chiefs, I said to myself, if they had Cam Newton, they may win this game. The Chiefs did not start putting up this barrage of scoring till late in that game, till we got towards the fourth quarter. If they had Cam Newton, they had a chance at winning this game. And this was what it made me think about. Oh, my God. I said, there's no way. There is no way we can get through an NFL season and get to the playoffs and not bubble up. You have to bubble those playoff teams up. Because I thought about, what if that was a playoff game and Cam Newton had just gotten COVID? Oh, my God. If we get through this season with not a lot of superstars getting COVID, the NFL, take this, man. Take this from me. Let's bubble them up. You can bubble everybody up in their own city, in their own town, and then travel the same team, just travel everybody. No other contact with anybody else, so we don't see what we saw Monday night again, where a team has to play an important game, and especially a playoff. There's no more important game than a playoffs without their star. So we must be ready to bubble up. And I'll be like, Michael, I don't want to stay in the hotel for 4 or 5 weeks or 6 weeks in a hotel. I leave you with this. Jimmy Johnson used to always say to us, whenever we got to the playoffs, he would call everybody up and say, everybody, listen, guys, everything that we have worked so hard for, everything that we all so desperately want is right in front of us for the next 5 weeks. He said, every man here should be ready to hang from a tree by their balls for the next 5 weeks to get what we want. If we were ready to hang by a tree, you should be okay with living up in a plush hotel for 5 weeks. NFL, you must bubble up for the playoffs. As a matter of fact, my guest and I, we discuss this very thing. And you don't want to miss what he had to say about should the NFL bubble up for the playoffs. I speak with the great Sugar Ray Lewis on the MIP. That next. This season, get football on your time with NFL Game Pass. You can catch every snap from every game with full game replays and see all of the plays in just 45 minutes with condensed games. Relive all the gutsy calls, crazy catches, wild comebacks, and breakout stars from every game every week. I just rewatched that great Patrick Mahomes versus Lamar Jackson matchup. Wow, what a great game that was. It's all the action, all the football you can handle, all in one place. And NFL Game Pass is the only place you can replay every game all season long. Learn from the league's best players with over 40 NFL Game Pass film session episodes. Go inside the game from a player's perspective as they break down the game's concepts and technique. Learn from the best, like Amari Cooper, Deshaun Watson, Devontae Adams, and many more. The NFL Game Pass also provides access to the entire NFL Films archive. Go to NFL.com/Game Pass to start your free trial today. NFL Game Pass, where football never stops.
Joining me now on the MIP, the Michael Irvin Podcast, is a young man, and I call him young only because he's younger than me. He's not a young man. He's always trying to mess with me like I've walked with Jesus and stuff like that. But, you know, but I ain't that old, and he ain't that young, so I'm going to take back a young man. I'm going to just call him my main man, and I'm telling you, an incredible dude, man. Played middle linebacker at the University of Miami. Everywhere he set his feet, he left a footprint of greatness. Then he went on to Baltimore and played linebacker for Baltimore. And everywhere he set his feet, he left a footprint of greatness. Let me introduce you now to the Hall of Famer, Sugar Ray Lewis.
Nah, playmaker. I'm gonna have you introduce me anytime I come out anywhere.
Hey, even that, Ray, we can joke with that, man. Even that, think about that, Ray. Just hey, honestly, because we get that now. And, yeah. You know, we get the things like that where you go do talking, you go do speaking engagements, you go places. People get to introduce you. Yeah. Like, man, I'm going to tell you something. I happen to like all of those introductions, you know. And when they send you something, we need information to introduce you. I'm like, trust me, I'm going to help you get this information.
Absolutely. I'm going to send you the right information on how to bring me out.
Right. That is funny, man. I joke with people. I say, I'm going every year to the Hall of Fame. If they're going to spend a weekend to honor me, I want to hear that name get called. I don't want to hear it. And talking about hearing the names get called, Ray, yeah. how much do you miss hearing that name get called? Nobody walked in the stadium, Ray, like you did. So even when I miss it, that's at 1 degree. But you miss it has been another degree because you came in with the sugar dance and all of that, and the people went crazy. How much do you miss that?
No, you know what, man? Everywhere I go, and I'm talking about, you know, across nations, bro. Like, when I got off in Africa, man, these kids, they did my dance. They did my
Africa
dance.
Right?
Yeah, man. Mike, I'm telling you, it's crazy how many people do it everywhere, man. I'm talking about, I mean, when I tell you, and I mean people, like, can really do it, which right, means right. They have spent time working on it. But, man, I tell you, you know, one of the things that I think the only part of the game that I miss is just the brotherhood, right? The walking in that arena. Everyday of life, you know, everyday life, the battle that we in now, you get up every day with your feet hitting the ground and knowing that you got to be moving, right? And when I was coming out that tunnel, Mike, I'm telling you, bro, and we've been around, but understand sports, right? Let's just be honest. Like, how many people has ever in a lifetime had their own choreographed intro? Right?
Yeah.
To where the TV stations after a while was like, Hey, Ray, they got to give you 2 minutes today.
Oh, my God. Right. Like, that's coming out. That's what they do for the national anthem.
Right.
Set it up to make sure it's right for TV.
To make sure
they're
it's
doing
right for
this
TV.
Now with your dance. Like, wait, we'll tell you when to go. Like, that's what
Mike, now we had turf for so long. Mike, they started flying me in a patch of grass. They're going to need this patch of grass to pull this off. Man, but I'm telling you, man, there was nothing like being in that city. There was nothing like coming out of that tunnel. And there was nothing like giving my team and my city a real entertaining side of the game. Yeah, it was good, man. It was really fun.
Yeah, that is so interesting. Ray, yeah. Ray, where did that start, Ray? Because it's college. You didn't do that in college. You didn't do it at University of Miami. You didn't do that coming out of that smoke in Miami. Now, you know, and I wouldn't imagine – Did you do it the first year in Baltimore?
No.
When y'all were getting whooped?
No.
When did that start?
No. I'm a retired military vet by the name of Kirby Lee. He had a lot of issues in my hometown. He had a lot of issues after war with post-traumatic and everything, man. But he was diehard Ray Lewis. I mean, diehard. He believed in me in high school. When daddy wasn't around, he used to always come back and say, "You gonna make it. You going to make it. Just believe me, you going to make it." And because of the brain trauma that he had been through, you know, he would come up with these unique songs or unique dances or just always have something for me every time I came home. And then in Tampa, the song came out. "Let me see you squirrel. Let me see you squirrel." So I come home one day and Kirby Lee says, "Ooh, Ray Ray." He said, "I got a new dance for you. I got a new dance for you." And so he starts to doing this dance, right? The squirrel. And me and Sap used to do it all the time together. And then next thing you know, one time I told him, I said, "You know what? I'm gonna do that dance on TV. I'm gonna do it." He was like, "What? You gonna do it?" I said, "Kerr, I'm gonna do it." And I never forget, I went home and I practiced my style of it, right? Like how I wanted to do it. And then I think in 1997, 98, I went to Marvin Lewis and they was introducing the defense last. Then I'm always last. And I said, "Marvin, I'm gonna do something coming out this tunnel." And he was like, okay, go ahead." And Mike, I came out that tunnel and I hit that Sugar Ray. And this back in 98, I broke Twitter before Twitter was even broke. Mike, I'm telling you, those folks was emailing every week saying, "He has to do this every week."
Oh, my God.
And then, bro, it just turned into every week, coach would come and say, "You know you last. You know you last." Even when offense or anybody was coming out, he was like, "You know you last."
So wait. So you mean tell me even when they introduced the offense,
yeah,
they still introduce you?
They had to bring in Sugar.
Oh man, you
come on, man, Mike.
You,
the city,
oh,
the
jumping city, you Mike, jumping, the, that's cheap. Oh, Mike, I ain't know that. Hey, boy, listen, boy. Hey, that's why, right? I'm telling you right now, Ray. That's why, you know, there's no way they're gonna introduce my offense and you're gonna cap it off with Ray. I ain't got nothing to do with what y'all do on that defense.
Mike, listen here. Yeah, it's the same thing. When we came out Super Bowl 35, Brian Billick say, "We can't come out unless you give me that sugar. You gotta give me that sugar coming out of here." I say, "Coach, listen here. I'm walking in here like we know what we're here to do. So let me give you that sugar coming out on this Super Bowl stage." 20 minutes from my hometown. I'm telling you, bro, that dance, man, that dance. Mike, I'm telling you, over the world, bro, if you ever seen the videos that I get of babies. I'm talking about 5 and 6, all the way to, man, this 83-year-old woman, she gets up every Sunday. She puts on her Ray Lewis jersey and she goes in her driveway and she does this dance every Sunday.
That's
for
20,
but since I was playing. So anyway, man, it turned
great,
into
man.
Just this iconic thing, man. So yeah, and people ask me all the time, they're like, "Do the dance."
Yeah.
I'd be like, "Look, these jeans are a little bit too tight doing that dance."
And them knees don't bend like they used to.
Mine do.
I knew you were gonna say that.
Yeah,
I knew you
were
gonna
say
that because I tell you that I get up, I drive 40 minutes a day trying to go get my workout on a trampoline because I can't run. I knew you were good. There ain't no way in the world your knees, or maybe they don't hurt quite like mine, but them knees can't be.
My knees don't hurt.
Deliver too much damage, right?
No. Hold on. Let's make sure we're clear. Let's make sure we're clear. I delivered.
Yes.
Yes, absolutely. Yes.
But
okay.
In a car wreck, both cars are dented. Both cars are dented. You had car wrecks, Ray. Those are
I
the
had a, I had
you
a,
got dented and he got dented.
I had a lot of car wrecks, Right. But a lot of them, I was the only one to walk away from.
Yeah. I don't know. If you ever saw that piece where NFL films play, where Ocho Cinco was saying, I'm gonna go down and crack on him, and he comes down, right? You know, because I've never been a big believer of crackback blocks. I just don't want to do them, you know. Yeah, I don't do coach. And I always tell people, I said, one day you're gonna have a crackback block, and the last second that dude gonna catch you. And yeah. He turned and because usually when you crackback, it's a receiver on a defensive end or on a linebacker. The dude's bigger than you. Now, and if he sees it, that's why you call it a crackback, because you're trying to sneak in there. If he sees it, it's going to be painful for you.
It ain't going to end well.
And you call Ocho, you call Chad coming in at the last minute. And what was – when you turned and hit him, it was like it didn't stop your momentum at all.
No.
And he went all the way back.
Yeah.
He came stumbling over. I was like, boy. As many years as I told them, don't send me on a crackback because of this right here.
Yeah.
I wish I had that film to just say, Coach, this is what I've been talking about all them years. See, this is what ain't going to happen to me.
Yeah. Don't come in now.
Right. How did you feel that when you hit him? Or you just
a lion doesn't feel when he hits a gazelle.
When the flea hits it.
He don't feel it.
He just keeps moving.
Yeah, Ocho, come on. Ocho ain't in the weight room like that.
I tell you who's in the weight room, though. And Ray Lewis lining up on the other side of Lamar Jackson. How would Ray Lewis bring Lamar Jackson down? What would that matchup be like?
You know what, bro? Let me tell you the truth, right? The truth is I couldn't play in today's time. Let's just be honest, right? Because – playing against Lamar, playing against Patrick, playing against all those dudes, I'm just being brutally honest with you. The last thing they thinking about is running against us. Man, we hunting you. We want you to run because it will not end well. Oh, man, like these dudes throwing the ball in front of you, faking like they – you ain't got to fake because I'm going through your chin. I'm going through your shoulder. I'm putting everything I got into the ground. And that's the difference, right? Because – These guys, quarterbacks and stuff, the freedom, Mike, that they have in the game, right? If you think about the linebacker position, I want you to go really all the way back. It's because you asked, how would I play against them? I couldn't play against them because our style of play doesn't match the rules of the game today. If you put us against Lamar Jackson or Pat Mahomes, I'm looking at my DNs and I'm saying, listen, everybody slide to the left. Right? And we're going to gain all the way to the left. And this backside, don't worry about where the ball going. I need him to get off the ground the next five plays. That's how we used to play.
You're going to take him down.
Man, we are here to punch you.
Right. And you would have found a way to play. They would have given you some penalties early.
Yeah,
you would have figured it out.
If I was playing into
you'd have been making $25 million a year.
If I was playing in today's game right now, I easy average 15 tackles a game. Easy. Right now at 45.
Is that off skill or will? Is that off because you know it or because you see
– It's twofold. It's twofold.
What fold?
It's twofold. First of all, I stay in shape for any battle. That's number one. Number two, the science of the game. The game is like a matrix to you, right? It's like a matrix to me, right? The game is slow. It's really slow. The way I envision the game, the way quarterbacks right now over these past 3 weeks, I want you to remember this. I think I said this on set. You think about week one, week two, week three. I counted almost 35, 40 screens within 6-7 games. And I'm sitting there saying, is there no linebacker that can count the three? Because if you can count 1, 2, 3, you're going to always find your homework. And my homework is the running back or the tight end. It never changes. Sometimes if I get out there,
I'm following
the running back and the tight end. My DBs, y'all cover. I'm not coming out there to cover Mike Irvin. I ain't coming Tyreek Hill. I ain't doing none of that. But I tell you about this box. this box in here. So all of these screen passes they running, Michael, me and my trainer was talking about this. There was a stint from 2002 to probably 2008. And I want you to go back and research this so you know it's factual. Michael, I made offensive coordinators take screenplays out of their playbook. And I used to scream it when I was on the field, take it out your game plan. Because I looked at a screenplay as being like disrespect. Like you're telling me I'm not studying enough.
Right.
Screenplays for people. Watch Kansas City, what they did the other night, right? And had these boys running around. But all of these flat, all these mirrors and these hot, you know, shiny pieces. And I kept saying, find three, you find your homework. Find three against Tom Brady, you find your homework. Find three against Peyton Manning, you find your homework.
What's three?
Three, it's always the running back. It's never changed. Michael, that's what made me so dominant. I'm telling you, the reason why I was around, because while everybody else talking about, oh, they got three wide receivers over here, and they got 2x2 over here, and they got 3x1 over here, and I'm saying, where the running back? Where my work at?
That does
right?
You,
and that science, for me, I'm telling you, 17 years, even when I watch the game now, the reason why I scream at a television, because I'm telling linebackers, slow the game down. There's a bunch of smart people sitting in the box on top of you looking down saying, guess what? We ran this last week and it worked. So on second down and eight, nobody's going to expect the screen coming. And we're going to get the ball in Alvin Kamara's hands and we're going to let him run for 20 and 30 yards. And I started saying, and every time you do it, I'm going to bust his back out. Every time you throw it to him. So it was personal. It was personal, and that's why if I was playing in today's time, I wouldn't even move a lot. I'm just telling you, the way the game is going now, I wouldn't even move a lot, bro, because how they running screens now, like, check the history of the way this game has always been played. From Dick Butkus to Mike Singletary to Willie Lanier to me to all of the great ones, they simplified the game. You got to simplify the game. Offensive coordinators try to make the game shiny to run the same plays. You know it. Come on now. Let's just speak on it.
I get so mad at seeing some of these dudes that they bite on every little
everything, Michael.
Eyes, man. It runs me crazy, man.
It runs me crazy.
Sit still, man.
Just sit still.
And some of it you're biting on, it doesn't matter. You ain't going to be able to get over there and make the play anyway. Take care of your responsibility. The play way over there, you biting on it, even if you ain't going to get over there in time.
One of the hardest players of my career that forever changed my way of playing football was Damani Dawson, right? Hall of Fame center for the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Right.
He was the most technical offensive lineman center I have ever faced in my life. Right, because Kevin Mowell came after that, and all these athletic centers came after that. But Damani Dawson,
centers, though, you never hear people talk about that. You know, you talk about people, quarterback, safeties, and all that. But I'm talking about, I'm reading this center. Everything starts with that football, and
Everything starts with that football, and I started to realize playing against Damani when I was young. I used to play Damani from a 5-yard depth, but Damani was so smart. By the time he got up from a 5-yard depth, he would always cut off my angles. And one game we played against Pittsburgh, and I went backside, and Marvin Lewis called me the next day, and he was like, and he cursed me for 30 minutes. I mean, for 30 minutes straight, Michael. And that was the first time and the next time. And I stepped outside the meeting, and I tossed my helmet across the field, and I said, you can coach me, but you will never curse me. You will never curse me. No. And from that moment, And he saw I was frustrated, and he said, well, what's wrong? I said, I don't know how to beat him. I'm asking you how to beat him. Help me beat him. And he says, meet me in my office at 6:30 in the morning. I started going in there with that click.
Wait.
Yes, sir.
You know what? That takes something out of a man to say, I don't know how to beat him. Help me beat him. I don't know how to. That takes something out of man right there. Boy.
Just because everyone gets a sweaty crotch and inner thigh chafing doesn't mean you have to go through life with a sweaty crotch and inner thigh chafing. Old Spice has new Below Deck Powder Spray to help you feel drier and cleaner down below, and new Below Deck Anti-Chafe Stick to help prevent inner thigh chafing. Available in the family planning aisles at Walmart or online at walmart.com/oldspicebelowdeck.
Hey, it takes something.
Have you ever shook Damani Dawson's hand?
Oh, I see. I know he's strong.
Mike,
I know he's strong.
He got them old school
and Ken
country hands.
Yeah,
that's just country. And when he used to grab you, I used to try to chop his hands off me. And I couldn't get his hands off. And I went up to Marvin Lewis, and I'll finish it up by saying this. I went up to Marvin Lewis, and we started watching film. And I said, the next time I play Damani, I'm going to go from 5 yards, and I'm going to play him at 3 yards. And when I started to play him at 3 yards, I took his angle away from me.
Brilliant.
Right. And I started to watch the nose of the ball, right? Nose high, pass. Nose low, run.
Oh, yeah. Oh, that's brilliant.
Oh, Mike. Come on now.
It's always something. Listen,
Mike, it's always some tip thing.
And it's a little tip thing.
It's always a little tip.
That's what Deion told me about. Yeah, Deion, he didn't give it to me afterwards because I remember playing Deion. I was laying heavy on Deion. He was trying to come up and press. Oh, I'm laying heavy on him. Laying heavy. And I know he feels it. Because it hurts me. I know you hurt because it hurts me, and I'm delivering it. So you know what I'm saying? So I was like, okay. And he couldn't understand how I was getting off, getting into him so soon. But he didn't know I had took the time out of the sound that travels. So when Troy's saying blue 18 over there, blue 18, it reverberates. Blue 18 from the center to the guard to the tackle.
Yeah.
And then it travels all the way outside to the wide receiver. And I figured, oh, man. I got to get off this ball first. So he said, set over there. Set. Once I hear set, I'm taking off right now. Because he's saying hut way over there. I never hear hut. See, and Deion sitting in front of me, he's waiting to hear hut or waiting to see the ball move. I go on set. I hit him up, catch him early. And later on, after I called him a couple times, Deion, instead of putting both legs side by side, he started putting one leg behind like he was in a track stance. And he did this in the middle of a game now.
I got leverage on him.
I'm going by. And then he put that leg back. What's that? Now he done made me start thinking again. I missed the count because I'm like, what are you doing? You know what I'm saying? I missed the set. And then Joe catch me in my chair. I said, okay, he just changed the game. I got to go back and change the game again. It's those games inside the game that trips you out, man, that I always think about, man. But we just got some news just hit this week. Yeah. I want to ask you about it, about Cam Newton. Cam Newton tested positive for COVID. Ray, when you heard that, what were your first thoughts?
Yeah, look, Mike, we discussed this. Remember, we discussed it on set, and this was my one concern, right? What happens when we get into the season and a superstar tests positive for COVID? What happens? That's where I think my not understanding totally, like, how will we complete, you know, this entire season, right? We see Pittsburgh and the Titans, right? They can't play, right? That game has been rescheduled, you know? And I think, you know, even going through all of this, let me talk from a player's perspective. You know, it's one thing to have to deal with the people that's already, you know, want to take your head off and you got to play against.
Right.
It's another thing to every day have to change your entire lifestyle, right? And it's different than the NBA, right? Because we can't go in a bubble.
Right.
Everybody, all these teams can't go in a bubble. So, you know, there's everyday life. There's going home. There's possibly dinner. There's possibly meeting here, meeting there. You know, there's all of these variables that by the time you get back to camp, by the time you get back to practice, it's like, oh, I done seen 20 people. Right.
And out of those
20, I got corona.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And now. But Mike, think about going further down the line. We get into November. I mean, we get into December, January. What happens? You can't change a playoff game, Mike. You can't back a playoff game up.
No, you can't.
You can't.
Now, and I don't mind, Ray, when we start getting these, when we start getting to the playoffs, if they see stuff, okay, we make it this far, to start saying, all right, playoff teams.
Bubble.
You know, you get in a hotel and bubble yourself up.
Bubble.
You know what I mean?
I think you're going to have to do it. You're going to have to do it.
I wouldn't have any problem with that. I don't want them by no means whatsoever to stop this season. Keep it moving. I understand we're going to take care of people in the health spot, but let's keep it moving because we need the sanity. And other sports have been great, baseball, basketball. But those you know, what we need is football. We need football.
This game gives people a certain peace that I don't care who you are, what you do. You're gonna sit down all Sunday, all Thursday, all Monday, and you're gonna get these games in. So I'm with you, bro. I'm with you on that. I just, like I said, I think and this is from a father, right? This is from a father perspective. You know, I just hope we can control all of the situations, right? Because the last thing we would ever want is something to ever become fatal, right?
Right.
Because now it's like, you know, life is a game bigger than life, you know, because that's when you start to think about things like that. So now, man, I was shocked when I, and I'm like, wow. And so now I think going forward, man, they're going to have to get tighter, honestly. Yeah.
How do you get there? That's the only thing. What trips me out is there are certain ways everybody gets ready to play.
Yeah.
You know, there are certain ways everybody gets. Yeah, I know times I play. We would get together and go get some drinks and some wings on Thursday nights after game, after practice. All of us would get together and go somewhere out Thursday night, you know, whatever you do. You know, have fun, look at some girl, whatever, while we're making promises to each other what we'll do on the field. You know, it's all good. Get you a few drinks. What a pretty girl. What, you got Ridge White coming up in a couple weeks. What you going to do? You know, those kind of things. We were really, it was slick ways of doing it. All of that you can't do now. Know what I mean? You can't do that. And I'll say, okay, how does everybody get themselves ready now? It's a different way. It's just a different way, but you got to be careful. You got to be careful, man.
Look, this is the era that we're in. And that's why sometimes I hate to hear people call, you know, younger kids millennials, right? Because I say they're still my children. I don't care what title you put on them, right? And it's what we teach them. It's how we teach them. And with this game now, with, you know, everything, the direction, everything going, right? Share this, share that, go here, do this, do that, right? I think in this pandemic, I think you just have to take a hard look at self and ask you, what's the cost, right? Because the cost is, if you're any one of these players, like a Cam Newton, right? If you're any one of these players, you don't know. I'm just being honest. Because of the virus, you don't know who you can trust outside of your family.
Right.
You don't know who you can go to dinner with. You don't know who they're bringing to dinner.
Right. It is risk. Right? So much
it's the risk.
It's too much. It's too much.
It's
too much. Because you win this Super Bowl, they'll put this Super Bowl above others. Because you went through so much to get there.
You can really
leave your mom. I'm like, dude, I'm sorry. You can't stop me from getting this piece of history.
I ain't leaving.
I'm going to write this piece of history myself, man.
Absolutely.
Speaking of writing history, and let me get to you right quick on this before I have to get you out of here. LeBron James.
Aiden. Oh, my gosh.
Your thoughts on what LeBron's doing, man.
Listen,
getting the Lakers to the championship.
But it's I'm telling you, the longevity. And then when you look at him play, you look at LeBron play. I said last night, I said, oh, he got easy three more. Right? But then you go get Anthony, right? You go get AD, right? He's unguardable. He is freaking unguardable in this game, right? And then LeBron is the one player who has a unique ability to get a Dwight Howard to lock in. You see Dwight focus?
Man.
You see that team focus,
I
man?
I was telling our guy, Sean, they had a picture of Dwight Howard when he was with the Lakers the first time. Young guy. Right, young guy. And then they had a picture of him when he's with the Lakers. Now, hey, you can see wisdom on his face.
Absolutely, man.
You can see him saying, I know that young dude blew some things for me, but I got it now. You can see that on his face. You know what I'm saying?
Like, historically, now look, you know, Jordan, Kobe, that's my 1-2. Jordan, Kobe, that's my 1-2.
Yeah, I love Kobe too, man.
Oh my gosh.
I love Kobe too.
Man. I love Kobe.
It's hard for me to put anybody above Magic, though, for me. Just my personal.
Right. And that's the way I feel about Jordan and Kobe.
Yeah.
But I'm telling you, LeBron James, whew, boy, he makes it hard because it's the way, it's not only the way he has, remember when Jordan evolved his game? Remember when Jordan was that skinny Jordan?
Yeah.
And then a few years later, Jordan came back because the Knicks was beating him up.
Doing all the weights. Right.
Absolutely.
Right.
He got on the weights, right?
In Detroit, he was getting
right. Absolutely. Kobe went through kind of the same transition, right?
Yeah.
To where Kobe had to get in that weight room. Man, LeBron ain't got to get in the weight room. LeBron had to get in the gym and get that outside game because now his jumper, you can't leave LeBron open, right? Yeah. Early LeBron career, LeBron just driving to the basket, dunking on everybody.
Yeah. Now, let me ask you this too, though, because this is something I want to say that nobody talks about. Nobody would may bring up because a couple of reasons we won't bring it up. Now, of course, we all love and deserves the love that we give Jordan for what he's accomplished. And you know, RIP to Kobe with him and his family. We're certainly praying for it. But do you think LeBron is the most easily liked out of those three?
Easily liked.
Now those other two were so monomaniacal and meaning driven to accomplish the one thing that they thought about was becoming great. They would roll over anybody that didn't see their greatness or wasn't part of their greatness. Well, I believe LeBron, he learned a lot from Dwayne Wade in Miami of how to bring people along. Yeah, you see what I'm saying? In this time, day and time, LeBron can get those new millennial kids to follow him. I don't know if Jordan and Kobe could.
His leadership has evolved year after year.
Yeah.
And that's what happens with a great leader. A great leader understands that it's better to be a servant than be a leader, right? Because when you serve, then you make someone else become their own leader. Right. So now you're actually producing leaders and you're not producing followers. If you watch what LeBron does, that's what LeBron does very well.
And that's why when you said he got another three, I say he'll take another three. Yeah. Even if he takes those last three, he'll take them as Robin and he'll let AD be Batman.
Listen,
no problem with that.
But it doesn't for him, where he is and his career. And this, I hate you. I'm the last one going to say, oh, because he's. I love to see warriors to the end.
Yeah, me too.
I like the end. I hate to hear people say, well, you know, he's getting up there in age. We all do.
Right.
What does that mean? Right? But I'm talking about watching him evolve as a leader, right, on the basketball court, and then empowering men to believe in themselves, go possibly about to go do on his third team.
Yeah.
Go win another NBA championship.
That's crazy. That's
on his third team, right? I think this man has been to 10 finals.
That's why I said that. He's taking different groups of guys.
Different groups of men.
Different groups of men. I'm saying I don't know if Kobe or Michael Jordan could do that. Because, you know.
I don't know. I don't know.
Set in their ways, though.
I know, Mike. I know, but.
LeBron rules these kids. They AD loves him. AD loves him.
I know, but listen to me. But listen to me carefully. And this is why everybody has their era, right? Everybody has their time, right? Right now it's LeBron's time because you couldn't have this argument when Jordan was winning. You couldn't have this argument when Kobe was winning, right? Because it's how they won, right? It's how they – that's why they were who they were. And still to this day, I'm telling you, like, because as a kid – I'm watching MJ. I'm watching this, right? And then as Kobe, I came in with Kobe, right? Me and KB was just like, God darn it. And so, that one bothers me a lot, right? Because I'm still supposed to be having him, right? We still supposed to be talking to him. Anyway, God has other plans. But leadership, I just want to share something with you with leadership. Understand this, right? Leadership doesn't care about the era. This is why I say stop comparing errors. Leadership, mm-hmm. I'm not saying you are, but leadership mm-hmm. doesn't care about errors. Leadership care about the evolving of men. When you can take a man My greatest ability, Mike, I'm telling you, my greatest ability was not to make tackles or make football plays. My greatest ability was to empower men that stepped beside me that they had the same power I had. That's the gift. That's the gift. That's the gift Jordan had. That's the gift Kobe had. That's the gift LeBron has. It's very few leaders that has that gift to empower men to empower themselves. When you get to that type of conversation, when you get to that type of world, I just say just join the family, because it's your time. It's LeBron's time, man. And I'm enjoying every second of watching his greatness, because, you know, my kids, my sons, we got so many arguments in the house. But my kids, you know, they're always, oh, LeBron is the greatest of all time. I'm saying, be careful. I saw two people before LeBron that was just extremely special. So anyway, instead of comparing eras, what I said, yeah, they join the family. Join the family of what greatness is. And that's why me and you, that's right. That's why me and you share the same color jacket, regardless on how great we was, right? We said it's the same color jacket. And at the end of LeBron's career, he's gonna join Jordan, he's gonna join Kobe, and he's gonna join the great ones. But what this man is doing right now, he's so good for the transition of men to get to a point in their careers, like what you see in AD, what you see in Rondo, what you see in all of these young people who every time LeBron, like the other night of the game, and I'm telling you, LeBron impressed me like no other the other night in the game. Like AD was arguing with this guy, and LeBron slapped AD in the chest, but it was the look that he gave him. Like, man, we're here for business.
Yeah.
And that as a leader is what my gift. That's why I love now, even being after football, the phone calls I still get to this day is men saying, thank you. Like, wow, I didn't know it then, but I get it now. Yeah. And I'm telling you, he's gonna be rewarded for that long after his career is gone. Yeah. Awesome to watch.
Great. Ray, he's going to be rewarded, Ray. But
yeah. But
I tell you what, we've been rewarded. We're just chatting, sitting here and chatting these great things and what's going on outside of the walls of you and I chatting outside in this world here. So I appreciate it. I know I've taken way more time than I was allotted, but as I say, that's what it is. When you're boys, we could just do that to each other and count it all good. As the Bible says, count it all joy. We're counted all good. Ray, thanks for joining me, man. And giving
Hey, brother, I love you to death, man. Thank you for everything, bro.
Absolutely, buddy. All right, I'd like to thank Sugar Ray for taking that time. It's nothing like talking with a guy that you know is a playmaker like Ray Lewis. But I know he feels good right now, especially after what the Cowboys looked like last week, but I'm still not worried. I'm still not worried, and I'll still hold on to that bet that the Cowboys get there before his Ravens. He feels good because he has a playmaker in Lamar Jackson. I'm telling him, you have a problem because of that playmaker in Kansas City named Patrick Mahomes, and I still believe we may get there before you. Speaking of playmakers, it's time for me to give you my playmaker of the week. Now, each week, I want to pull out the playmaker of the week. That's the guy, boy, that went in and had to do his thing. And I'll tell you why he did his thing, not just tell you that he did his thing or how he did his thing, because there's always a story behind the glory that makes it all light up. That's why I want to pick out my playmaker. But I want to start this time with a few honorable mentions. Guys that have been lighting it up all over the football field. We came into this season wondering and worrying about the situation in Green Bay. But Aaron Rodgers, oh my God, I got to put him in the honorable mention. He threw for 327 yards, 4 touchdowns, and 0 interception, 147 passer rating. I mean, he did that without Devontae Adams, finding other guys on the football team that can help win football games when your star is on the side only means when your star gets back, you'll be just that much better. Aaron Rodgers, he is a playmaker. Tom Brady is my next guy. Tom Brady is a playmaker. Tom Brady had 369 yards, 5 TDs,
and one pick six. This is what I love. I love the story and the glory. The story says things were not going well for Tom Brady early on, but he stayed the course and kept fighting and kept believing. And in the end, he got the win. That's what a playmaker is all about. And I want you guys to understand when I give you this. I am telling you that these guys are, and they are a playmakers. They are a playmaker. A playmaker. They are the adjective. I am the playmaker. I am the noun. Let me get you to my top playmaker of the week. Wide receiver, Odell Beckham Jr. from the Cleveland Browns. Odell started his career in New York with all of the bright lights. And then he came to Dallas right there in Jerry's world. And even though the Giants lost that game 31-28, Odell made what most consider the greatest catch in the history of the NFL. It made him an international superstar. He had problems in New York, so New York banned him from all of the big lights in New York. They sent him to Cleveland where just a flashlight was shining. But Odell knew if he could come back into Jerry's world and grab a little greatness from yesterday and place it today by making plays like he made. 5 receptions, 81 yards, 2 receiving TDs, then 2 rushes for 73 yards with 1 rushing touchdown. He knew he would get the light place back on him if he does it again against the Dallas Cowboys right there in Jerry's world. And you know what? That's exactly what he did. He sealed the game when the Cowboys came back close and made it 41-38 with a 50-plus yard reverse. He was telling everybody, you're not taking this away from me too. And he sealed the game. That's why, Odell Beckham Jr., you are my playmaker of the week.
Thanks for downloading the MIP. Check out new episodes of the Michael Irvin Podcast every Thursday on Apple Podcasts, Podcast One, and Spotify.